Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hey, everybody. I am Trey Rowland. I am here with Dane Draper, the Knowledge Master Extraordinaire. And it is a Rivalry Week edition of Know Thy Enemy, presented by Knowles 24/7 Beyond the Bench. Dane, are the blood pumping, the juices flowing? Are you ready? Are you ready to strike anything orange and blue at all?
Oh, yeah, Trey. I'm fired up, man. Fired up. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I can feel your energy, and now it's coursing through my veins. Guys, it's a big week for Mike Norvell in the program. Had a nice quarterback commit at the start of the week. We want to keep that energy flowing against a Florida Gator team that, I guess if I can think of one word to say about them, it's erratic, right? They've got great potential, but it hasn't necessarily shown up in all their games. They've got a 6-5 record on the year. They've got wins against Utah, which is impressive still to this day. USF, Eastern Washington, Missouri, Texas A&M, those four, honestly, nothing really to write home about. A win against a South Carolina team that just took down Tennessee, so that was impressive. They beat them. And then they lost to pretty much who you think they'd lose to this year. Tennessee, LSU, and Georgia, they lost to the class of the SEC. But the L's in there that really are eye-opening are those losses to Kentucky, which has gotten worse as I think the season's gone on, and that last week loss to Vanderbilt right before they play FSU. They go to Nashville and they lose to the Commodores. Dane, do you see the same kind of inconsistencies and erratic play that I have that is kind of defining this Florida team?
Definitely, yeah. It's like really on both sides of the ball too. I mean, the biggest position of football, quarterback, like that's been about as inconsistent as you could be, but kind of overall with the team, a kind of a high upside team. They're pretty talented overall, but definitely inconsistent, like you're saying.
Yeah, man, and you had guys like A.J. McCarron saying that Anthony Richardson was the second coming of Vince Young in, like, week one and week two, and it's like, well, okay. A.J., I like you. I don't think you're a terrible commentator, but there's good Anthony and there's bad Anthony, and, man, it's been good Florida and bad Florida. So how that's kind of hashed out throughout the year is S&P Plus, those opponent-adjusted, tempo-adjusted metrics that we use as just kind of a gauge. I'll be honest with you, I think they're a little bit off this year, but at least it gets you within striking distance. They have the University of Florida as the 39th best team overall, 23rd best offense in the country, which, like I said, maybe when it's good, Anthony. A 71st ranked defense, not a very good defense at all. Conversely, that same metric has Florida State 24th overall with the 41st best offense and the 27th best defense. I would say that Florida State is definitely playing better on offense than top 40, in my opinion. We're top 20, top 25 offense. Depending on some metric, yards per play, they got us in the top 10. So like I said, number's not perfect. At least it gets you in striking distance. It's got the two teams sort of similar. As far as like yardage per game, Florida's offense, 33rd in total offense, 440 yards per game. Rushing attack is very, very good. They rank 15th in the nation, about 209 yards per game. Through the air, not quite as strong. Let's say about 230 yards per game. That's 67th in the country. And as far as like the scoring offense, 47th best in the entire nation with about 31 yards per game. Dane, anything about that Gators offense that sticks out to you? I mean, they're a unit, especially when Richardson can use his legs, that is dangerous.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, like you said, they're more of a running team, right? They're definitely like run first. You have more talent in that backfield, including Richardson's legs, than I think you do on the outside. Honestly, mm-hmm. they remind me a lot of FSU last year.
Ooh.
And how they are a run-first team in that way. But also the way their offense plays, like they kind of live and die by chunk plays, by the explosive plays. They aren't really particularly good on down to down success rate, especially in passing. But they are really, really explosive on both sides of the ball, really. I mean, not both sides, but through the air and on the ground, especially right on the ground.
And I think that inconsistency where we've seen it sometimes, even as Florida State fans this year, they're very bad in the red zone. They're very poor when they don't have all that space to work with. They're a 119th in the nation. They're just converting for points on 75% of their trips. They've got 36 scores and 48 attempts in the red zone, 29 touchdowns. That's not great, which you wouldn't – for an offense that's so highly rated by the advanced metrics, I really think that they've been able to convert and take advantage of explosive plays. Luckily, now you're playing a defense. Florida State's forte all year has been to limit explosive plays, maybe at the expense of stringing together long drives. But I mean, I got to think that Adam Fuller is going to try to bet on Florida trying to have good Anthony Richardson and execute over and over again and not give up 80-yard touchdowns. Make them drive, make them drive, make them drive. And then when they get to the red zone, hopefully they just puke all over themselves like they have so far this year. Defensively, it's a bad defense, in my opinion. They're allowing 27 points a game. That's 77th in the nation. Opposing offenses, they're averaging about 409 yards per game. That's 98th in the country. Teams are finding, I mean, when you see those type of total stats, that means that they're giving up a lot of yards everywhere. About 237 yards through the air, 86th in the country. And on the ground, they're even worse somehow, averaging 172 yards per game allowed, 92nd in the country. That defense is going to be in some trouble against that Florida State rushing attack, my man. That's what those numbers tell me, at least.
Yeah, no, you got to agree. You got to think that's somewhere where FSU can attack. They've been so good on the ground. I mean, that's stuff you have written down. I'm looking at kind of like four base stats that cover like all of how, you know, you need to be good at one of these things, at least. I have in yards per rush allowed, Florida's 96th. In yards per attempt allowed, they're 100th. In third down defense, they're 127th. So kind of.
There's nothing that they're like. You got to at least pick one.
Yeah, and then in sack rate, they're 95th. So,
yeah. Oh man. So we'll get to that, and we'll get to the defense too, because that's a defense that hasn't been playing very well. That's also possibly missing one of their best players for a half, depending on what the SEC does. But let's go through the offense first, because I think that it's a clear mismatch: Florida State's offense against Florida's defense. We'll get to that here in a second. But let's talk about the Florida offense, because I find that to be the far more intriguing matchup against an Adam Fuller defense that's healthier, playing really, really well, but also playing against some teams where their effectiveness has been limited by the starting personnel at quarterback. So let's start with Anthony Richardson. He's a physical specimen. He's about 6'3.5", 232 pounds, and he's explosive. We talked about the inconsistency. He's got about a 56% completion percentage on the air, 2,300 passing yards, 14 touchdowns, 8 pick. He does have 600 yards on the ground and 9 rushing touchdowns. That's tied for the team lead. However, that completion percentage, 95th in the entire country. But conversely to that, 14 passing yards per completion, that's 6th in the nation. So to me, Dane, he's spraying it all over the place, but he's also able to connect with some really big throws. Is that what you see, too, when you look at his game?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, having about a 56% completion percentage and that being that low down in the national rankings, but he has a 7.99 yards per attempt. That's 40th, and that's what you're talking
crazy
about with the yards per reception there. It's like I said, by living and dying on chunk plays, you know, they're pretty poor on success rate on the ground and through the air, but especially through the air. But they ended up looking like, if you're looking at EPA, that sort of thing that rounds everything together, they're kind of an average passing attack, because they do get enough chunk plays to accommodate or to compromise that stat, something
yeah,
like
to,
that.
Yeah, to kind of inflate it, right? You're not hitting a lot of plays, but the plays you're hitting are for literal points. Like you're hitting huge, highly valuable plays, but all you got to do with those explosives, if you can find some way to limit it, man, that offense is it's in trouble, right?
Yeah,
especially with those
is
red zone woes. And there's been at least complaints that I've seen online that Florida is not running enough with Anthony Richardson. I saw it a lot after the Vanderbilt game, and it's been a constant complaint at times. Do you see that? Do you see that as well? Do you think that he's being underutilized by Billy Napier?
I mean, he has 84 runs on the year, like designed
runs. It's a lot, right?
Including scrambles. But yeah, if you take out the sacks, it's 84. That seems like a lot. It's easily, I mean, it's just under, like, Montrell Johnson and Trevor Etienne, they're two main backs. It's Trevor Etienne is 91 carries in the year, and I don't think people are saying he's being underutilized. And, you know, Richardson's just under that. And but Montrell, he is an absolutely elite runner. I mean, like I said, when you take out the sack yardage, he's just under 700 yards on the year, and he averages 8.2 a carry. And he's a 51% success rate when he's running as well. I mean, he is explosive, and he's an elite runner for sure.
I think it is just he's so successful. I just want to see it more because when you lay the numbers out, minus the sacks, he ran about 80 times. Montrell Johnson, their lead back, he ran 127 times. Etienne has run for 93. They run the ball a lot. It's just they can't run Richardson every play. So I think we'll see what happens with Florida State, who did have some trouble in the year containing some mobile quarterbacks at times. I thought they did a pretty good job with Jaden Daniels. I thought Malik Cunningham ripped him to shreds a little bit more. But Malik's a different runner than Anthony Richardson. I'd say that he's more agile, quicker, and Richardson's a powered runner. He does have good speed. But he's a power runner, and he's really going to test the tackling ability of the secondary and Florida State's linebackers. So do you see anything else about Anthony Richardson other than, I mean, how do you think that Florida State should defend him, Dane? Just try to contain him in the pocket?
Yeah, I mean, he's – I don't want to say he's run first. He has such a high ceiling as a passer, too. I mean, Adam Fuller said media availability today that he can throw the ball 75 yards. Like, he's someone to worry about everywhere on the field, but he's definitely more prolific as a runner and far more consistent as a runner, and that's what you gotta shut down first.
I agree, and he threw that ball about 75 yards into the 45th back during that Hail Mary against Vanderbilt, so his arm strength is unquestioned. So it's just got to keep him contained, try to make him hit those short throws and force an inconsistent player to be consistent. Limit explosives. I think that's fairly obvious. Much easier said than done. We'll see if we can execute. Moving on to the running backs. Extremely talented room. You've got Montrell Johnson. He's leading the way. 742 yards, 9 touchdowns, 5'11", 218 pounds. Only 11 catches out of the backfield. So not a huge receiving threat. 10 touchdowns on the year. And then you've also got Trevor Etienne. I know that name sounds familiar. He's the brother of Travis. He's got about 570 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns, 2. He leads Florida with 876 all-purpose yards on the season. He's a huge threat in the kick return game. Very talented running back room for the Gators.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and then there's Naquan Wright too, but his usage has really dropped off as the season's gone on. But I mean, the duo of Johnson and Etienne, both of those guys are definitely scary. Like, they're both kind of the full package in my opinion. I mean, Montrell Johnson, he comes from Louisiana. He transferred in with Billy Napier. 5'11", 218, a bigger back.
He's a load. Yep. Yeah. For sure.
And so is Etienne, honestly. I mean, he's a true freshman. 5'9", 217, also a really, I mean, that's a real stout build. You like to say fire hydrant. I'd agree there. But he's really quick and explosive. I mean, he has long speed. Like, he ran a 80-something yard touchdown, something like that, a couple weeks ago. Like, he does have that home run hitting speed. He's, to me, Trevor Etienne specifically is, like, the scariest player on that offense outside of Richardson.
Yeah, so it's – what do you make of the offensive line of Florida? Obviously, it's very productive on the ground. Is that because of their offensive line? Is that in spite of the offensive line? They've got pretty low sack numbers, honestly, opponents throughout the year. Just 12 sacks against Florida, and that's 11 in the nation, just allowing one sack per game. They're 15th in the nation in tackles for loss allowed. That's about 4 tackles for loss per game. Obviously, a lot of that Florida State, we know that because we have Jordan Travis, who has helped avert a lot of that pressure. We turned that pressure away from sacks. Is it the same thing that Florida's doing, or do they have a pretty good offensive line? What do you make of the Florida offensive line, Dane?
It is kind of similar. Like Anthony Richardson's pretty good at avoiding sacks, and they also run a bit more than they pass, like Florida State does as well. But yeah, no, they have some talent there. All of their starters are guys that have graded 70 plus on PFF, like have graded pretty well on PFF. So they're kind of solid across the board there, if you're just looking at that at least. So seemingly no big weaknesses, but Cyrus Torrence he's the highest graded offensive guard in the country by PFF. He's a 90.6 rating. That's elite. Whew.
Yeah, legitimate high-level NFL prospect too, right?
Definitely, yeah. He's never allowed a sack in his whole career, and he's going to leave after this year to go to the NFL. He came with Billy Napier again from Louisiana. So he's someone to worry about there. But overall, yeah, it's a solid unit. I don't think there's any big weaknesses. All the guys along that line have played a ton. They've been pretty much the starters throughout the year. They've only had like 2 other guys with any sort of significant snaps at all throughout the year. So it's really a well put together unit, and a unit that's played enough together at this point where I don't think any big weaknesses would be noteworthy.
No, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see Adam Fuller also once he's going to limit explosives, but he might have to bring some pressure to speed up Richardson's clock this week. Just because that offensive line's so solid. I mean, Florida has played Georgia. They have played LSU. They played some pretty good defensive lines. Florida State's is as well. We'll see if they can do something that most other teams couldn't this year and get consistent pressure on the quarterback. They are healthy and they have been disruptive. This will be a nice test for them. On the outside, what do we make of Florida's receivers? One of their leading receivers, Ricky Pearsall, I believe he was a transfer in this year. He was banged up against Vanderbilt. We're not really sure about his availability, but what do you think about Florida's talent on the outside before we move over to the defense?
Yeah, it's not as great as it is in running in the backfield.
No, not even close.
I mean, Pearsall is easily one of like their top 3 receivers, and losing him would be huge. Like you said, he transferred from Arizona State, but he did get hurt against Vandy. That would be a huge loss. The other 2 main guys are Justin Shorter and Xavier Henderson. Henderson also is, I mean, at least questionable. He might even be ruled out that I just missed somehow, but he missed Vanderbilt. And that's the guy that leads them in catches on the year, 38. So that would be another big loss. If they had no Pearsall, no Henderson, they're really, as far as like starting caliber guys, just left with Justin Shorter. He's 6'4", 223. He's a lot of athletic ability. He's kind of been looked at as a few years as a guy with a really high athletic ceiling, or just ceiling period, but he's kind of struggled with consistency. This year he is a 59% catch rate, and that's the lowest of those primary targets for them. Definitely a big play threat. So he's someone to worry about too, but he's never been, not that I know of, he's never really like taken over a game like he's probably capable of doing. And then behind them, like if, you know, the guys you would see besides them, wide receiver, there's Marcus Burke, who's a second-year guy, Dejon Reynolds, Caleb Douglas, and I'm going to try to pronounce this.
Go ahead. Give it a shot, buddy.
Tychia Kao Bowman.
You know what? I think you nailed it. The Dejon Reynolds kid, he had a pretty good game against Vanderbilt, too, so maybe he's going to step up with the increased playing time. But, yeah, if those two kids are hurt, if Henderson's hurt, if Pearsall's hurt, it's really Justin Shorter who, like you said, inconsistent, huge big play threat. He's averaging about 20 yards per catch. So if he could just – clearly he's somebody that is a deep threat specialist that they're targeting. But if you can contain him, it's – like you said, it's not that formidable of a passing attack.
Yeah,
we'll
it's a lot
see
of
if that changes.
It's a lot of size there too. The guys that I mentioned, the guys behind them. I mean, Shorter included, but it's also a lot of inexperience and not a ton of production because of that.
So yeah. Speaking to not of a ton of production, let's talk about that Florida defense, man. What I guess we can start with what do you think they're best at as far as defending the pass, defending the run? I guess defending the pass maybe by a coin flip. I don't think they're great at either.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out earlier, and I don't think they're good enough at anything to even say. I think they're just really bad on defense. I mean, I'm looking at, like, success rate, you know, EPA, all
this
stuff.
What is that, by the way? What is their success rate allowed? I mean, I figure it's got to be high. They're, like you said, bottom, like, 100 in, like, defending the run. So.
Yeah. The overall defensive success rate, it's 93 nationally. Against the pass, it's 96. Against the run, it's 81st. So,
okay.
And success
so mid.
Rate.
Yeah.
I would say a little lower than mid. But
I'd say bad. Yeah, below the
yeah,
mid. Yeah,
that's pretty bad, man. And then, like, against the run, I said 81st in success rate. But if you look at EPA... You're looking at all more together. I mean, total EPA, they're 114th against the run. So,
oh, goodness.
I mean, no, they're just a really poor defense. A decent talent, not special talent, but decent talent. Some guys that were looked at before the year as, you know, big breakout candidates, that sort of thing. I think just none of that has really come to fruition. And, you know, first-year defensive coordinator, it just hasn't gone well.
No, I don't think it has either, and they're missing. I guess we can just start at the front. And I guess I use mid as, like, the kids say mid now. My wife is, like, she's an elementary school teacher, so if something's bad, they say it's just mid.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Yeah, it's actually worse than mid. So I apologize for anybody that's my age or older. I shouldn't be using that vernacular, but, yeah, I used it as the kids call mid, which is way worse. So let's just start on the front. I don't know. I don't think he's their best player, but I want to start with that nose tackle, Desmond Watson, yeah. Who's 6'5" and 415 pounds. I haven't really watched the kid play, but every time I look at him, I am marveled that somebody that large can find equipment big enough, and he's actually, like, athletic enough to make a huge impact on the football field. That's a large individual. What do you make of Florida's defensive line? Sorry, listeners. What do you make of Florida's defensive line? And am I just mesmerized by size of the Des Watson kid? And is there somebody else that I should actually probably pay attention to more on that defensive line?
There's other guys for sure. But, man, no, Watson's a good player, dude. I mean, he's the second highest rated defender on that defense.
Good.
PFF.
Okay, good. He's not just bulk.
No, he's not bulk. I mean, he is certainly bulk. But no, not just bulk. He plays a lot of snaps for them. I expected, like, looking into this team, I expected to see him is more of, like, a role player, you know, more of a first down kind of guy or third and short kind of guy, you know. But no, I mean, he played 32 snaps last week. He's played 124 snaps in the last 4 weeks, which goes to a point that I'm going to make soon here on the defensive line. But he's definitely a good player. I mean, he starts for nose tackle, gets plenty of snaps there. Other guys definitely, I mean, they have a decent rotation, as you do. In college football on the defensive line, like you'll see behind him on the depth chart is Chris McClellan. That's a really talented freshman they have. His usage has gone up throughout the year. He only weighs 305 pounds. So.
Oh yeah. He's just a little guy,
but there's McClellan. And then there's Jalen Lee. There's Tyreek Sapp. And then the other starter at the other defensive end spot or defensive tackle spot, would be Gervon Dexter, and he's definitely looked at as one of those guys that before the season could be maybe the best defensive tackle in college football or up there certainly, and he hasn't really become that. I mean, that's
very
pretty safe to say, I think.
Yeah, it really, and the kid is still very talented, but sure. the type of attention that he's garnered hasn't, I forgot he was on the team for a little bit, and I don't think that's necessarily due to his level of play. I don't think the stuff that he's doing on a very bad defense is very eye-popping. So I don't know if that's if he's nursing an injury. I don't know if he's not being utilized correctly. I don't know if it's an effort thing. Obviously, that's something that we're going to have to take a look at. But the other guys, too, I mean, it's just not a super talented defensive. Well, let me take that back. It's a talented defensive line. It's not a super productive defensive line. Their number one sack getter on the year is, oh boy, Princely Umanmielen, who's only got 3.5 sacks and 8 tackles for loss. That's, I don't know. I don't find that to be very impressive. So it's just, like I said, they've got some talent there. It's probably flashed at times, but you're going up against a meat grinder of a Florida State rushing attack and a Florida State offensive line that has been playing really well these past couple of weeks against some defenses and some defensive lines that aren't too shabby, man. That Louisiana defense that Florida State ran all over is considerably better than this Florida defense, in my opinion. So what point were you about to make about that Florida defensive line before we moved to the linebackers?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I would have forgotten.
I got you,
about
buddy.
That.
Don't worry about
Appreciate
it.
Appreciate that. So, like you said, or you mentioned about the Louisiana defense or just the past games Florida State's played, the starters have gotten to rest a ton. And on the interior of that defensive line, really defensive line at all, that's really important. With all those big guys, it's a big deal to get some rest. Like FSU in the last – or the main two guys that I'll note for Florida State, like Fabian Lovett and Robert Cooper, your two starters there in the interior, the guys that you'd want to rest probably, especially Cooper, who's, you know, quite large himself. Lovett had 14 snaps against Louisiana, and he's had 86 in the last 4 weeks.
That's crazy. That's just the team taking care of business and resting their big guys on a short week. It's a short week.
Definitely. And then Cooper has had 16 reps, 16 snaps last week, and 89 in the past 4 weeks. So both similarly, you know, not used much, well-rested, that sort of thing. Florida, on the other hand, like Desmond Watson, has played 32 snaps just against Vanderbilt, and he's played 124 snaps in the last 4 weeks. So considerably, significantly used more. That's like a full game more than our two guys, and he weighs 415 pounds. So that's got to wear you down. Gervon Dexter, the other guy who has really dominates the snap count in that defensive tackle room, he had 43 snaps versus Vanderbilt, which is a ton for a guy that size.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's 312, and he's had 190 in the last 4 weeks.
Oh, my goodness, man. More than double our guys. And Desmond Watson, his snaps are like dog snaps. With 400 pounds, each snap is like 7. So those guys are gassed, right, on a short week? They're beat up.
I thought that was a good point to bring up just because.
That is a good point.
They might really be beat up. And if they aren't, you know, if that isn't a super big deal, at least our guys are more rested. I just think that could matter, especially because Florida State's run defense is just significantly better than Florida's to begin with.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, it's a beat up unit that hasn't really been that good when they're healthy. So great. That's a really great point, Dane, especially when you compare it to Florida State's usage. I mean, that's the value of getting your business done early and sitting your starters. It's injuries and it's wear and tear. So that's a great point to make. Let's move to a level back. Let's talk about the linebackers. I think the first thing you got to talk about, the second leading tackler on the team, Ventrell Miller, he got ejected for targeting second half against Vanderbilt. He's expected to miss the first half against Florida State. We think that'll stick. I think that some people were saying that they could appeal it to the conference. Those crooked Southeastern no good peeps. We'll see if they appeal it to try to sneak one over on the pristine and have never cheated in our entire lives, gentlemen of the ACC. We'll see what they do, but I guess we can expect Ventrell Miller to be out. And if he is out, Dane, who's there at linebacker? What do you think of the unit?
Yeah, I don't think they're super great outside of Ventrell Miller. Like, I think he's definitely the best player they have there, at least this year. Like, I think Derek Wingo will probably play in place of Miller in that first half. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't played much this year. But more lately, and he had his best game of the year against Vanderbilt last week. He had a really good game. He had like an 86 PFF grade.
Oh, that was good.
But it was only on 12 snaps, so I don't know how much to take from
that. Sample size. Yep, never mind. Yep.
But he's a guy that I think he'll slide in there. I saw some players talking about Miller and whether he's out or not, and they seem to think he'd be there. If it wasn't Derek Wingo, I would think it'd be Shamar James, who is a true freshman for them. He's like third on the team and snap count at linebacker. Very he talented. Plays more behind the other main starter, that is Amari Burney. But Shamar James definitely, he was a big recruit. He was one of the big late additions they had when Napier was brought on. And yeah, so he could be used even more in Miller's absence. So there's Ventrell Miller, then Wingo, and then at the other linebacker spot, there's Amari Burney and Shamar James. But Amari Burney, nothing super special there. He's definitely the starter. 60 PFF grade on the year.
Oof. That is mid. I can use that correctly.
Yeah.
Mid.
There you go. Burney and Miller are also both seniors. I think that's worth noting because the other two guys are much less experienced. Mm. And not having Miller out there could pose a problem, especially, I mean, Miller, he's the leader of that defense. He's been described as the heartbeat of that defense. Like, having him out for a half is a big deal. He's also really productive, you know, 74 tackles in the year, whatever, but that's a big deal to lose that guy. He's your leader there.
It's a big deal too, because Mike Norvell, if there's one thing he can do, he can attack that second level, especially with the way that Trey Benson, Trayshawn Ward coming back, having a nice bounce back game, Lawrence Toafili out of the backfield. He's going to attack you running. He's going to attack you with the blocking scheme. He's going to attack you in the misdirection. He's going to attack you coming out of the backfield, especially with the screen game. So, like, Florida State's tight ends, while not extremely talented, they've been pretty productive, man. Markinson Douglas and Cameron McDonald, and Mike's going to scheme some stuff up. It could be a rough day for Florida's unit if they don't get Miller back in some, like, I don't know, some bullcrap fake, like, reversal of suspension that would never happen in our conference, but I could totally see happening in this game. Moving to the backfield, what do you think of Florida's defensive backs? I'm going to imagine, based on everything else we've said, I don't think they're probably that good either.
Yeah, I think that's a safe thing to say. I think the best player back there is probably Rashad Torrance. He's a safety for them. He's a third-year player. He's a second-year starter for them. He leads the team in tackles with 76.
Oh,
he's also questionable for this game. He might miss
man.
It. He got hurt in the first half against Vanderbilt. He had a lower body injury there. So if that's a guy they don't have, that would be another really big loss. I mean, he's definitely one of the more valuable guys on that defense overall. The other starter there is Trey Dean. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter complain about him. I don't know how valid that is, but
hey, he's got a great name. Yeah, leave the Trays alone. We're good.
He hasn't been as good as Torrance, though, I don't think. He's been around for a while. He's never been super good, just talking from a PFF standpoint, at least. But he's 6'3", 207. He's a bigger body there. I think he has some athletic upside. I mean, he's been getting significant playing time for 5 years now, and I don't think he's ever been fantastic. But outside of Torrance and Dean, like, if Torrance is out, it would be Kamari Wilson playing there for him. He's another guy like Shamar James, where he was a really big recruit, big time, like, signing day, late edition, surprise. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to go to Georgia and then ended up going to Florida. He's like a borderline five-star kid. So really good. But if he is the starter there, I mean, that's, to me, that's somewhere you have to exploit, or you can look to exploit that freshman there. He played a ton against Vanderbilt, more than anywhere else this year, any other game, in the absence of Torrance.
How'd he do?
He had a 60 PFF grade. So
mid.
Again, mid.
Mid.
in 54 snaps. So yeah. Not anything special, and
no,
a true freshman
no.
there. So somewhere you can look to exploit, especially in the absence of Rashad Torrance, if he is out. I mean, I think, like, Ventrell Miller being talked about is, you know, him being out of the first half and Norvell being great at scheming up points in the first half. All that aside, like, Rashad Torrance would be another huge loss.
Yeah, especially with how active he is in the tackling game, man, with Florida State. And that's one thing. Not only is Florida State's running backs going to punish you and cause, like, you're going to have tough tackles. Florida State's wide receivers are so physical too, man. There's so many broken Johnny Wilson, Malik McClain, Micah Pittman catches I can see in my head for points. So with that being said, and I really had fun saying the word mid. I wish I would have adopted that way earlier in Null Thy Enemy. That's what we'll do for season 2.0. Let's get to the predictions. Dane, are you ready, or would you like me to talk a little bit to give you some time?
I think you should go first on this one.
As is tradition, I'm not surprised at all. Listen, Florida State is the better team. They are the more balanced team. They are playing at a higher level. They are the healthier team. They are at home. I would be, maybe if you asked me 4 or 5 weeks ago, I would be worried about the mindset of this team based on how crushing the loss that they had against Florida last year. But with how businesslike and professional Mike Norvell have been over the past month, taking care of business, I'm not worried about it. I think Florida is going to get their points. Anthony Richardson is talented. That running game is good. They are going to get points. But I think it's going to be sort of like a quasi-shootout, and Florida State is just too potent, and they will force Richardson into some errant throws and to some mistakes just enough to where I think Florida State wins this game by a score of 45-27. Really comfortable rivalry week win. I would be, I could maybe see Florida scoring a little bit more. It depends. Obviously, this is a huge game for them, but I think Mike Norvell, we choke the rivals to death, and we take that momentum, and we just roll it into early signing day and transfer portal season, baby, and we go in bowling.
Oh, yeah, man, you're firing me up. Yeah. Let's go. We're living good, man.
Yeah, baby, we're not mid over here, not at all.
No way. Nothing even close.
give it to me, Dane.
All right, I wrote down two scores, Trey, when you're talking, and I have a score to where if Florida State does go in there and just handles business the way they have and what they can do against this team, or what they probably will do if they really handled business, they could probably score as many points as they want to score. I feel like
now you're gonna be fired up.
If it's that case, then I'm going to go 45-20. And then if it's not like that, if it is, you don't play as clean of a game as you want, the moment isn't necessarily too big, but it's, the rivalry kind of gets to you and gets to Florida, there's two people dancing here.
That's right.
Then I'll say 31-20, Florida State.
So either way, like you said, maybe a turnover or two, amped up, personal. Like you said, the rivalry gets its hooks in. We're still predicting a double-digit win for Florida State.
Yeah, 9.5-point spread. I mean, Florida State's been really good. If you're into betting stuff, like Florida State covers the spread like every week. It's 9.5 this week. I mean, Florida State's really good. They're a legitimately very good team, and Florida is not.
I agree. Scared money, brave money, we don't care. We just want the Gators to go broke on Friday night, boys. That was another edition, the last regular season edition of Noll Thy Enemy. Stay tuned. The news is dropping fast and furious on Knowles247.com, and we will be there every step of the way. Overeat, stuff your face with turkey, stuff your face with starch. I prefer green bean casserole. I think it's severely underrated. But what's not underrated is you, our Knowles 24/7 listener. We love you. Gators suck. Keep chopping.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.